Hello, friends. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Empowered Together Network with all of my favorite people in the world here in a webinar to honor our dear friend, Stacey LaMotta, who is the founder of the Southern Delaware Wine, Food, and Music Festival. Did I get that right, Stace? So I had the privilege of meeting this truly amazing woman in Rehoboth Beach. We were at a networking event right on the boardwalk when we met, and we just talked and talked and talked and talked. And she told me about the festival and how could I help. And so years later, here we are tonight, because this is the 10th and final event that she's hosting for a lot of reasons. So Cynthia DeLorenzi, co-founder of Empowered Together Network, Alina Z, our life stylist in LA. Cynthia's in Las Cruces. Our dear friend Paula Petri, you're in LA as well. And she does truly, excuse me, divine design, truly amazing, wonderful things. And I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. So thrilled to be here to have this platform and to share these wonderful stories of truly amazing women on Incandescent Women magazine. So, Stacey, you are in the spotlight. Tell us about the wine festival and all the things.
Okay, well, I started this festival. I guess I came up with the idea about 13 years ago. I was a consultant for the major builder in this area, and he wanted me to create some events that people from the outside would come in and see the type of community they have and see the clubhouse and all the amenities. And so one of the ideas was this wine, food, and music festival. So it's been going on every year except for COVID 2020. We couldn't do anything that year, so we didn't do the festival that year. And then in 2024, I had a very, very major surgery and health crisis. So we had to not do it that year. But this is the 10th annual, and it is also the last one I'm going to do. It's a lot of work. I have some health issues that we're going to talk about as well. That's one of the reasons that I feel like I just can't do all the work for it anymore. But it's a really fun event where we get about 500 to 800 people, which is a big event in this area of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, because there's hardly any venues that hold that many people. But it's all for charities, and I've raised over $300,000 for local nonprofits just through this event. And it's a one-day event. Sometimes we've done a dinner the night before, but basically it's 20 to 25 at the best restaurants around the coast here. We have over 100 different tastes of wines, beer, cocktails, mocktails, no alcohol, low alcohol, teas, all sorts of things. Live music, a chef competition that's done chops style, which means the chefs that are participating have no idea what they're going to be cooking with, what are the ingredients, and they have a very limited pantry and 30 minutes to see what they're dealing with, chop it, cook it, plate it, make it beautiful, make it exciting presentation, make it taste great, of course. Along with that, we also have a silent auction and a wine pool. And it's really been a very successful event. And I love it dearly, and I'm very passionate about the community here where I live. And it's a day where so much community comes together, not just to attend the event, but I have nearly 100 volunteers the day of the event as well. In restaurant, just everybody comes together, and it's loads of fun, and we give back to local nonprofits in need. So that is just something I've developed, like I said, about 13 years ago. It's kind of sad this is the last one, but it is a lot of work. I'm pretty much a one-woman show. I do have a volunteer committee, which, if you know or have been involved with a volunteer committee, they sometimes help and they sometimes say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot," or "I'm busy." So I really feel like all the pressure is pretty much on me. But there are some great people that volunteer the day before and the day after to help, and I couldn't do it without those people. So that's my event, little event.
And when is the event?
So it's coming up in 2.5 weeks. It is May 30th, which is the Saturday after Memorial Weekend here in Rehoboth at a beautiful new hotel, the Cambria, inside and outside. And so yeah, I'm down to the kind of the last grind of it, making sure. Well, it always happens. There's going to be things that go wrong. People are going to can't, you know, restaurants are going to cancel. Places are going to, you know, try to pull out, and I'm there to say, "You can't do that." No. This is for, you know, these nonprofits. And but anyway, all things sort of things happen if you've ever planned a large event. But it's okay because guess what? Nobody really knows what exactly is how it's supposed to be. So nobody really knows if those things happen, unless you lose your cool.
Yeah,
Then
and you never
everybody
do.
knows.
You never do. Yeah,
And
that chef
try not
throwdown
to.
is super fun. There's tons of
Yes.
energy, tons of music, tons of art. People are just have the best time. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's really, and you, it's all because of you. You pulled it together.
Well,
Has
thank you.
anybody expressed an interest, especially the business owners there, somehow picking up the gauntlet and moving forward with it?
Yes, a couple of people have expressed an interest. I haven't made it. I did make the first press release that went out. I did make it, so it said the final, but the other marketing materials have not said that, so not everybody knows that. But after the event, I'm going to have like put an article out probably and talk about that, because it would be great if it could continue, but I want it to be in the hands of someone who's going to continue it like I did, with the intent of raising money for worthwhile nonprofits in the area, not just to make money themselves, so to speak. So
Who's the nonprofit this year?
every year I pick two different nonprofits, and this year is very unique because a lot of times I'll pick ones that are pretty popular, you know, pretty well known. This year it's Celebrate Wellness, and Celebrate Wellness is a pretty new nonprofit that focuses on the mental health of hospitality workers. Where I live, it's a touristy town, and there's like 300 restaurants within 5 miles. Okay. There's a lot of hospitality workers. So Celebrate Wellness helps those people by providing them with resources and free therapy, and, you know, just really helping them along the way of that. And the other nonprofit is International Mind Body Association, and it's a holistic medicine type of company. It's very new in the area, and they usually deal mostly with like mothers or caregivers of people, and help them heal through holistic means, which include different modalities, different, like one of the things they do is they have all sorts of different like elixirs and creations that do different, you know, will promote different types of results. And they're going to be at this event mixing and recommending and talking to people and putting some of those in their beverages to, if they wish to, you know, whatever they need, if they need to overcome some depression or or what have you. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty unique. So those are the nonprofits this year.
Cool. All right, Paul, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You didn't
No,
cut
it
me off.
just said
Oh,
it
you
was the
interrupted me.
same similar question of like what strategies do you use to raise funds for them? I see one is, I guess, giving them exposure at the event, and is it percentage of
It's
the
actually
profits
all the
or people
proceeds.
donate to them or yeah, how do you do
Good
that?
question. Good question. So the ticket, we make the money for the nonprofits through the ticket sales and through sponsorships. So 100% of the money goes back into the nonprofits after we pay expenses, for, like the rentals, the room, the other things. Everything else goes back to the nonprofits.
Nice.
And we promote them through lots of different means. Like just last week, I was on three different television shows talking about the event, and I do radio, I do, just old time newspapers, magazines, digital print, websites, all sorts of social media. That promotes the restaurants, that promotes, the musicians, that promotes the chefs in the cook-off, that promotes the beneficiaries, each part of it. So we do a lot of hands-on marketing.
So cool. So, how are you feeling about this potentially being the last hurrah?
Again, I have mixed feelings because, I don't look sick. I don't look like I'm too frail or can't do it, but things are going on in my body that prevent me from being able to fully do what I want to do. And I don't like to do things half-assed. And I don't want to continue with, without being fully there to run it and to make sure it's 100%,
I
I'm
think
proud of it.
you're really smart to listen to your body. I mean, I think especially women, we're so used, and this is just making a universal declaration. I'm sure it's true for men too, but that sometimes we just don't pay attention, and your body's telling you something, and it's just as important as your heart and your soul and your spirit and your mental health. And you're really smart. Really smart to listen and pay attention and know where your boundaries are. I think that's been my lesson this year. I've very emphatically, and I'm not going through a big health crisis. I deal with, stuff just to go some of the process, but clearly saying no. And I'm invited to things that sound lovely. Do you want to go to dinner? And I go, no, this year I'm taking a year off. And that's hard. I mean, it's really hard when you are in a place doing all what all of us do when we take time in our lives to help other people, to enrich our environment and our community, and that's what you're doing and giving back in this great way. So you feel like you're being selfish, but you're not. You're being smart. So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. That means something to me. So I appreciate you saying that. And it has been hard because Hope probably knows because I've told her the last 3 years, this is my last one. This is my last one. And yeah, I thought when I put it in print, that's it. I can't do it again. You know what I mean? So, because I know it's what I need to do. What?
Why don't you tell us what you're dealing with so the audience and viewers understand what you're,
Okay, I'll
if you
tell you.
wish to. You don't have to disclose anything you don't want to.
No. So, I was diagnosed with an incurable genetic disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's becoming more and more known, but a lot of people have never heard of it. It affects your connective tissue in your body. And the way it does that is, as we know, our organs are in place with connective tissue. Our bones and joints and tendons and everything is connected throughout our bodies with this fascia, connective tissue. Mine does not work. It's faulty. It's very lax. So it creates a problem with every single body system, from the heart, I mean, to the GI tract, to the, yeah, I mean, you name it, it affects it. And so I was born with this. I was the first one in my family to know that I had it. Before I could even see a geneticist to get diagnosed, I had to fill out a 40-page family history. It took me 8 months to fill it out because I had to call relatives I had never heard of before. I had to really dig deep into my heritage to see if this could in fact be Ehlers-Danlos. So I tracked it back to my dad's side of the family. My father's father, who died before I was born at around 60 years old, had what they called back then a fallen stomach, which means like his organs and stuff kind of fell down into his stomach, and he had like a tube around his stomach, which nobody knew why. And I'm going to just say that that stuck out to me because what happened to me, for me first to recognize something was wrong, is my organs started falling out of my vagina. My uterus was hanging out, not really pleasant. You don't, it's not cool. And that got taken out, and then other things started falling through there after that was taken out within a 2 years' time. So it presents a pretty big problem because the pressure from standing or, walking, being upright, makes it just worse and worse and worse. So I've gone through two. I've gone through a lot of surgeries, but two very large surgeries, both at Johns Hopkins, with three to four surgeons in the surgery at the same time, working on different parts of me. 8 hours was the first one. The second one was five because they did a little bit quicker somehow. But yeah, so that's why I had to cancel the one in 24. I had to be like practically bedridden for a while till they could do the surgery. There was hardly anyone in the whole country that would do it. I got turned down by the first doctors who did the first one because it failed. And the surgery was supposed to be 94% effective. And mine failed the first time, the 8 hours at Hopkins with all the surgeons. So they were afraid to come back and do it. And I had to talk to surgeons and hospital groups throughout the country to find somebody who would do it, which is a little stressful. And the biggest thing that disappointed me was the main two surgeons that I had for the first surgery 13 years ago were both women. I saw one of them every single year, the other every 2 years. I knew it didn't work. I knew things were falling again, and they kept saying, "No, you're fine. You're fine. You're going to be fine." And they always told me, "If something happens, we got you. We will figure it out." And then when things were very bad, and I went there, and they said, "We can't help you." They refused to help me. They said, "There's no help for you. Everything just is going to end up falling out anyway." And that broke my heart.
How long
These are
ago was
two,
this? How long?
13 years. Well, this just happened summer of 2024 is
So
when
is
they
it
told me
been
this.
since NIH now has new leadership?
Is it related to research you're
No,
doing there? Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure what it exactly is related to, but the thing is, for 13 years, they told me they have me. They will figure it out if anything happens again. And all of a sudden,
Yeah.
no, we can't help you. It's just gonna fall out. You're pretty much just let everything fall out of you, and you're gonna die. I mean, and my youngest daughter, was with me when this happened. And I mean, I was just broken down. I mean, these are women I looked up to, respected. They always talked highly of me to their patients. They always told me, you're the best patient. You're so in tune with your body, and da 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 da. And you listen and you do what we say. And then all of a sudden, they were gone. I didn't know I was going to get emotional about this. I don't talk about this part of it because it's really.
Hard. One of your story resonates with me because one today on CNBC, if you ever watch the CNBC, I watch the channel all the time, and one of the people who reports on the morning show, Squawk Box, she her daughter has a rare genetic illness, and they're now beginning to actually do programming around rare diseases, genetic diseases, and finding the resources to bring this knowledge base together. I mean, I think that's going to be so important because there are rare. My husband died because of a genetic issue that was not detected until it was too late. And so it's really, really important. I think that by bringing a community of people, because you've got people who specialize in what you do, specialize in my husband's kind of leukemia. Other things, if we can bring all those together and understand pulling resources, information, scientific studies, scientific resources, the money together, and AI, I think we may be able to help address diseases. I'm so sorry you're going through this. It's just, I've never even heard of this, and it's
Right,
just,
and most people haven't.
no.
Can I ask
Yeah.
you a weird question? You
Yeah.
said you started your festivals 13 years ago,
Yes.
and Oh,
you
that's a
got
good
diagnosed
question.
13 years ago.
I was diagnosed after my first surgery. So my surgery was about 14 years ago, or 13 and a half. But I wasn't diagnosed with this because the only way you could get diagnosed was from a geneticist doing a 4-hour test, physical test. And there was only a few geneticists in the world that knew how to do that. So I was very lucky that one of the founding people of this disease is a geneticist that I saw, that diagnosed me. World renowned. She was in Baltimore, Maryland. She's now in Minneapolis. But it took me almost 2 years to get an appointment with her. So I didn't get officially diagnosed until then, but my surgery was before then. And when I was going around trying to find surgeons that had heard of it, that knew anything about how to treat it, I ask AI questions, and it's like they can explain certain ways it affects the body, but not in depth what to do about it surgically or anything. Like I said, there's the whole big surgery I had. It was actually six surgeries in one, and it supposedly was 94% effective or something. So there isn't many redos when something is that successful. There's not many people who have
had to redo it in the world because it usually works, right? So
So then
that
what
was that
happened?
was what
So tell us
okay,
the second surgery.
so then I finally found some physicians that would do the surgery, and I felt confident in, with them. So I had the second surgery, which was eight surgeries in one. And some of them were duplicates. Some, involved mesh. If there's a lot of lawsuits out with mesh related, like mesh holding things up and failing or ripping the organ or these things. But that had to be used. So I had the second one, December 10th of 2024. So it took me about 6 months to find the surgeons. So yeah. And so it's been about a year and almost a year and a half since I've had that surgery. And unfortunately, things are now falling again. There is no third surgery. I mean, I'm pretty sure about that. Even with the folks that have did the second one, because there's a big risk factor for people who have this disease and having surgery even after 50, because a lot of times I'm not going to heal right or won't heal at all, and the wounds will be just open wounds. And yeah, so that's what I'm facing in the future. I try to keep the most positive of attitudes I can say. Most people have no idea I'm suffering from anything.
You look very healthy. You look healthy. Yeah.
I teach 10 fitness classes a week. I teach
Incredible.
yoga, Pilates. I'm a functional nutritionist. So yeah, so I'm not letting it beat me down, but I need to start to pick and choose what I do. That's why I had to say no to this event so I can do more. Do some other things that I want to do with my life.
Breathtaking, Stace. And you are the most positive, most wonderful woman. Yeah, we have so much fun. And
I
you're
know
always,
we do.
I adore you. Yeah,
Oh.
I got to pick out those ingredients last year for the throat chef throwdown. We went
That's
to
right.
three
We sent
restaurants,
you to the store.
three stores.
Yeah, three
Just like
stores
no,
because they
very
weren't
picky.
all at one. Yeah. Yeah.
So much fun. Yeah.
Yes. And you guys most of you are not from around here, so I doubt I will see you at the event, but
I
if
used
you're
to
interested.
vacation in, but I live in LA now, but I used to live in DC. That's how I know Cynthia and Hope.
Oh, me
So we
too.
would go to Rehoboth for weekends
Yeah.
because, you
Yeah.
know, the
Yeah.
drive. Yeah.
It's a good time to be in Rehoboth, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
beautiful.
May in
So
Rehoboth,
beautiful.
way better than any other time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Does anybody have any other questions?
Well,
I mean,
so
what do
what
you
can.
do for
Go ahead.
mental health? What do you do? Do you do meditation? Do you do. Yeah, I believe, which I won't profess to be a great meditator. I really try, but what do you do? Because I really believe, and I work a lot with Alina. She's incredible and Hope. I mean, I love Alina. Like when I get to the end of my rope, I just call, "Why is this happening to me?" And she goes, "Because this is where the sun is and the moon is, because you got Scorpio or you've got this here." But it really does help me No,
to.
I know there's a lot to some of that stuff. So, I'm a
It
yoga teacher. I've taught meditation as well. I do meditate. I go through cycles. I find myself of like doing it really consistently. And like right now, because of this event and everything that's happening, I'm not as consistent. But I also have faith. I have a lot of faith. And that truly, truly helps me deal with it too, because, I do believe there's a reason why this is in my life. And I'm helping others. I talk to a lot of people who have this that are first diagnosed. My daughter has it, and my grandson, which kills me and breaks my heart. But because my daughter is 31 and she already has a lot of different symptoms that are worse than some of mine, and her kid is only 5, and he got diagnosed at 3 and a half. So yeah, but I guess so. Faith, meditation does help. Just positive thinking, positive reading, being grateful every day. Every day at night, at the end of the day, I write 5 things I'm grateful for down. And the next day, I do the same. But the kicker is, you can't repeat them. You can never repeat the same one. So that makes your mind really think about things and that you're grateful for. And I'm grateful to be here right now with you and share myself with you. So, that's one I'll have tonight on my list.
I love that. Paula, what advice do you have? Because you work with a lot of women and a lot of people going through different kinds of challenges.
No, I'm emotional. I feel we're in the room with the teacher.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Yeah,
beautiful.
I feel
We
we're in
are.
the room with Stacy, with the teacher. Yeah, as our presence, as people will more and more, maybe as you further announce that this is your last year, and people will be curious, and more people, will know of circumstance. Then you become a walking teacher
Yeah.
for your community.
Right.
And that's the most powerful.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're walking the walk, and you have figured out things, along your way that and especially difficult is, the fact that with now with your daughter and your grandson, yeah. And sometimes with that, we feel that, increased fortitude to be to stay strong,
Right.
and
Yes.
so that's becomes that. And then, yeah, there's some. Opportunity and need to where we then succumb to our own vulnerabilities, right? And
Yeah.
kind of process another whole layer and digest another whole layer of reality that relates to, life and the coin, both sides of the coin of life and death. And you face it, you're facing it and walking it in a way that's it's the wolf energy of the teacher. So the wolf reminding me of the wolf, the teacher. And so you're
Okay.
walking with that. So I guess if there were an advice responding to Cynthia's would be to find those circumstances where you can feel vulnerable at when you need to and be
Yeah.
held in community, whether it's whatever
Yeah.
that is, so
Yeah.
you can't always,
I'm curious how many people in the world have this disorder?
Well, it's being diagnosed more than it ever has, but the thing is, with Ehlers-Danlos, our mascot is a zebra. And if you know anything about zebras, no two zebras have the same stripes, and no two Ehlers-Danlos patients have the same exact presentation of this disease. So while there could be people that have it much more mildly, that maybe it's only affecting their elbows or their knees or something, and then there's people who have a, their aorta bursts on their in their heart and they're dead. I mean, it can affect any part of you, like I was saying before. So there's so many different levels of it. So it's really hard to say how many people have been diagnosed. And until now, I mean, until about 10 years ago, the only way you could be officially diagnosed is through a geneticist. Now, primary care doctors are supposed to be able, supposed to, I say that with a big supposed to, be able to diagnose. Rheumatologists are looked at as specialists, which is crazy because it's just crazy to me. Because I've been to rheumatologists and they just look at me like, I don't know what to do. As is most doctors.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you talked to your body and asked her why this is happening and what is she trying to tell you to do or not to do? Because I'm getting a sense that you're holding, like, and this is my impression, it completely could be hallucinating, but I feel
Yeah.
like you're holding.
You're hallucinating.
Yeah, but I feel like what comes to me is that you're holding so much for other people, and your body is like, girlfriend, why are you not holding me? And so I
Yeah.
feel like when you are gonna let go of this festival where you're doing so much for charities, for other people you might not even know, but you're not doing anything for your not you're not doing anything, but I feel like your energy was out there and you just let your body to be on her own, and like you're working her out and you're doing and you're pushing, but instead, like I would say talk to her and be like, what do you need? Like, how can I be there for you? How can I support you? Because our tissues, our cells are always listening, and our genes can turn on and turn off with just our mind. And I feel like she will respond to you and tell you exactly what she needs, and you'll have a miraculous healing once you are fully committed to her.
Yeah. Well,
That's beautiful.
beautiful. That is beautiful. And you are correct. And some of that is I find a lot of deep pleasure and I find it very rewarding to help people either one-on-one or in groups or bigger. And I go through phases with my body that I'm completely ignoring it because it's too much to deal with sometimes,
And you
right?
just called her an it.
Ah.
And
Yeah.
that's what I'm just trying to like shift.
Yeah.
So you're like you're so loving, but I feel like your love is external. Like you want to take care of other people.
I do. I know.
But
I'm
then I would
sorry.
ask you, like, what
Yeah.
for? What are you doing it for? What's the payback for you for taking care of other people and going to the trauma in your childhood that made you focus outwardly instead of inwardly, physically and literally, and mentally, emotionally?
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of what I was saying is I do ignore myself and my needs sometimes because it's too much for me to handle sometimes, so I try to put it in a compartment and push it down. And then other times I fully let it come, I let myself feel what I feel and spend time with myself and that kind of thing. I'm looking so forward to in 3 weeks, this will be behind me, this event, because every year right after the event, I start planning for the next. I'm not doing that. And
I'm sorry to just interrupt really quickly, but I just wanted to tell you, you said pushing it down.
I said it again, right?
No, but you said pushing it down. Your
Yeah.
organs are going down. And you said your
Yeah.
organs were coming down and you're pushing down emotion and you're pushing down into your body because your language you create as you speak.
Well, maybe I need to talk to you after the show. How this
That's why I call Lena. Okay, what am I doing? And that's really interesting, the conversations we have with ourselves. It is so important. And as I shared earlier about when I heard this, that turn that love, losing my husband and just the sense of vacuum of this a huge amount of love I always had there, and turn that out and love yourself. And that for me is like, whoa. I mean, that's like really selfish.
But is it? I don't know.
I'm sorry, just really quickly, and I'm going to shut up. But your daughter needs to also learn from you to take care of herself so she's not giving too much, because if she's giving too much, nobody has that cup full. Only the takers are. And then the givers are running around waiting for the takers to give something back, but they are not going to give you back until you give to yourself. So,
Yeah.
that's true.
I always love what Ayn Rand said. She's controversial, but I'm a fan. She said, it's having a sense of self. It's not being selfish, right? And there's a big difference in that. There are narcissists out there everywhere, but when you have a sense of yourself, that's a different game and you can feel it, right? Yeah, I Cynthia, there's no way you would ever be selfish. None of you, right? That's not a thing.
Myself a full, I feel like I always have this argument, you have to fill up your cup so you can give more to others, but you can never pour from an empty cup.
It's interesting too, Alina, the connection you made with the representing a cycle perhaps of the diagnosis and
Yeah.
the
And
food
the
and
event.
wine, and now you're coming to the end of both of those in a way, right? In that you're at the end of potentially of the surgery as an option for you, let's just say that there's something that I feel that there's an ending there, and an ending not in terms of life, in terms of new, something new emerging, and it really can be this and you've spoken it in terms of self-care, like I'm ending this in order to do other things with my life, so it's a new cycle, and maybe it fits into your chart. But I had looked at when I wrote a book, and in writing it and describing things, I realized I had this 12-year cycle. And then I looked at it. My daughter was 12. I was at the university 12. I ran for 12 years. I did this for 12 years, and
Wow.
yeah. So I have a 12-year cycle that, and when it hits, I am done. I
Wow.
couldn't run another day, and I loved every minute of running, but I didn't notice it was, I didn't know it was a cycle. I had moved to an area where there was more hills and there was, deep snow in the winter, leaving Miami, so it was a natural ending, but
Yeah.
I felt like this, Alina, touched upon, cycles and how we move with them. And the rhythm can carry, always is carrying us, forward just to where we need to go, as you, really have had to be in tune with your body. And so as you're listening into that soul's, our soul's path and that rhythm of that, yeah, it's a natural, yeah,
I want to suggest when
process.
you write your gratitude list, list the things that should be in your cup to fill it up.
I'm gonna make a note of that.
You know, somebody told me also, and I hardly ever do it though, but to write what you're grateful for, you. Like your
About
gratitude.
yourself.
Like your gratitude to you. Like, I'm so grateful I am. I've done this for
Okay.
myself, or I am such a great person, or, So it's not
Okay.
like constant go, 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 but because 2 sevens is a lot of movement. And so now that you're going to calm down, I feel like things will change. But I mean, I'm not a psychic fully. But
Fully.
but you, we all know, like you said, you're very intuitive to your body, but then you choose not to listen to her for whatever reason, and that's the reason to really go and address so your body can heal.
I'm listening to everything you guys are saying because what I've been doing isn't fully working for me still. So I'm always really eager to learn new things to do for myself, and I love
I would
it. I love it.
suggest as soon as this event is over that you also have a list of self. So fill your cup. So what should be in your cup? But the other thing is, the minute that's over and you now have ended your cycle for this period, what should you do? Not for us, not for your people you work with, for yourself to begin
addressing your spiritual needs, your mental needs, your health needs. What would just give you joy? What have you put off doing? What would give you joy and happiness? Going to
Gotcha.
the museum, the beach, the whatever.
Yeah, that's great. Great idea.
So many good things, so many beautiful
I
women.
know. I know.
We
I
are empowered together, right? That's exactly
love
right. We are empowered together. We really are. We want to invite
it.
other women to share their stories and tell us how we together can bring a collective to these amazing women, because sometimes it's one suggestion, it's accepting one invitation that changes everything in your life. And I'm trying to live in that moment, knowing I know I have to go out the house to have to have whatever's going to happen, but I want to be open to it, you know. So you just don't know. So turn
Yeah.
that switch on.
In your good grief work, Cynthia, you know, there you have to let that, you have to wait for it. You can't
Yes.
force that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, amazing. You're all so beautiful. Stacy, May 30th, and then you're free after this fantastic. And
please send us all information so we can share on social media, because I
Okay,
still
I
have a
will.
big DC
Yeah,
network. So
okay, I
definitely.
will.
Definitely.
Yep. It's all
Great.
over all the incandescent stuff. Stacy is the cover of Incandescent Women magazine this month, and this will be produced May 2026, and we will push it out. So please share all the beautiful things, the details
Yes.
about the festival, and Stacy also on your website, share that with us,
I
and
will.
even if they can't attend,
Yeah.
still donate.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. I hope to be a part of this group continuing on. So, that is what I want to do.
That's
So,
awesome.
I look forward to
Wonderful.
getting to know all of you better.
Yeah. Well, cheers to you, woman. Oh, cheers
Yeah.
to
Cheers
you.
to everyone. Thank you
Beautiful.
all for
Woo!
joining us
Hallelujah.
tonight for the Empowered Together show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, proud producer with my co-founder, Cynthia DeLorenzi, in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Alina Z in LA, and our loving, loving, loving member, Paula Petri. So, Stacey LaMotta, you take good care of yourself, woman.
Thank you so much,
Bye.
guys.
Bye,
Bye.
everybody. Bye.